Standing pat and hoping the storm will pass is simply not an answer. The best way out of a recession has always been smart, carefully thought out, and effective investments in the community by government. That's exactly what is in front of you today. You have a chance to invest in Portland in an investment that is smart, protective of taxpayers, and effective. You have a chance to make a once-in-a-lifetime investment that limits downside risk to taxpayers while providing two sparkling assets to the community. I'd also add that in all of my research that I've done on stadiums, I've never seen one that provides as many community assurances as this one in front of you provides. Bring MLS to Portland. Ensure the Portland Beavers have the stadium they can thrive in. And most importantly, show the world that you're willing to work with private investors who are willing to reach out and make concessions. You have an investor at the table who believes in Portland. He's willing to back bonds and cover cost overruns. He's willing to provide capital and help the community itself. This is not something that comes around every day. This is not something you can turn down. Deep down, I know both these opportunities will be successful and that the community will benefit. Please don't turn your back on this chance and don't turn your back on Portland's future. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Ian.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you again for the ability, for the opportunity to speak. Ultimately, you were elected to make smart decisions and smart risks with our money to develop our city. Cities that don't invest in infrastructure and development dry up and blow away. If we hadn't made those decisions in the late 60s and through the mid to late 70s, many of which were economic downtimes in this state, our downtown and our schools would be in a much worse shape than they are now. We're looking at a very similar situation with a deal where we have so much protection for the taxpayers to leverage. There's risk. There's always risk. There's risk. There's risk coming here. But this is insulates in a smart way and hedges it in a way. And it's there's a metaphor of the engagement ring. This isn't an engagement ring. This is an agreement to go forward and hammer out the details. It's an agreement to go shopping for a ring together with an investor who is willing to put his family money on the line in a way that no one else has ever done for the city. And I haven't done it in sports in this country. We already have a stadium. We're getting a better. We're getting two stadiums for the. Someone said for the price of one. I think it's actually the price of about a third of a stadium. You look at how much is spent on stadiums in this country. As mass transit access, the synergy of putting another venue during the summer when the Blazers aren't playing increases public safety in what is, if you walk through during the summer in the evenings and the Rose Quarter, it's a wasteland. There's nobody goes there because there's nothing going on. This creates a reason for people to come from out of state, out of city, from within the city to spend their money there. Businesses around both parks will benefit. I've been adjusting this as questions are raised. The youth soccer that Commissioner Fish talked about that he has a passion for would not have existed without the NASL Timbers. That infrastructure came with the game. It came with the professional franchise. Those clubs that are now huge institutions came with that. They weren't here before. This is an opportunity to do that again on an even bigger level. Lastly, this will raise our international profile. People know in other countries know who soccer teams are in this country in a way that they will never know a baseball team or American football team. And then lastly, Portland State benefits from this by having a Division I ready stadium without them outlaying from their funds they're spending on their other things. And TV exposure for college sports increases attendance and increases the quality of student that go to a school. It's a fact. Look at Duke. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. I just want to pause for some housekeeping items. How many others signed up?
We have about 15 more.
Okay. Council, if it's okay with you, I want to poll whether you're up to this. We've got folks waiting for some regular agenda items. We could hold those off till tomorrow at 2 o'clock so we can provide them certainty and get them out of here. I also wanted to poll council on sort of their energy level for budget work sessions later this afternoon, whether you wanted to reschedule those. So are you okay with holding the regular agenda, push it over to tomorrow's meeting?
So I'll just since you're raising the question of our schedule for today, let me add one other piece. When I was asked about the timetable for this, I asked whether we could have time following this meeting to review all the documents. And I specifically asked if we could put this over a week. I was told that was not possible. I understand that it may be possible to put this over to a vote tomorrow, Thursday. That is still my preference, since there are some things I have not had a chance to read as carefully as I would like. Whatever the other mix of this, I'm agnostic. It's what my
so comment. Unless there's objections, we're going to hold over the regular agenda items till tomorrow at 2 o'clock, time certain. We will ask OMF to reschedule the budget committee meetings, so we're not pressured by that, and they can begin to work rescheduling those items so bureau managers and teams aren't waiting. And then I think at the end of our testimony here, we'll have a discussion about whether we make a decision today or tomorrow, if that's okay with you, Commissioner.
Why postpone it? We just well, address the agenda.
I would point out I'm excused on council business from tomorrow's meeting.
Okay.
Vote tomorrow?
So we can't vote tomorrow.
Do you want to discuss?
Well, I mean, you could vote.
Right. Do you want to discuss it further, Commissioner Fish?
No, we can do it later or now. I had made two requests about getting some feedback on the timing for our decision, and I actually no one ever got back to me on either request. But
which request was that?
Initially, I'd asked if. We would have an opportunity to reflect on the testimony and the materials today, vote on this matter next week. I was told that there is a deadline from Major League Soccer, so.
I thought I had told you that.
I thought he got back to you.
I thought we had a discussion and I told you that.
So I don't, if it did, then I'm
I may have,
disassociating.
I may have just thought it and not said it.
I may be disassociating. It's Randy, right?
Yes, it's Randy.
Okay. Randy said he was going to get back.
Commissioner Fish, Randy. Commissioner Leonard.
I've heard good things about you, but you work at the
not
other
from
end
the
of
county,
the hall.
Obviously.
It's hard to see him down there. Do
you want to answer his? Do you want to speak to it now?
I talked
after you asked me that. I talked to Merritt, and maybe I dropped the ball and didn't communicate back to you, but he made it clear he needed to have the decision this week for his application for MLS next week.
So since we're proposing to spend over $100 million, it seems I would like to have Commissioner Saltzman involved in that vote. So I'm prepared to stay as long as it takes today, tonight, and if we need to take a recess to get... Thank you very much. I'm not sure why. I'm just doing my job. If we need to take a recess in order to get the answers that we need, there should be enough answers at this time to be able to make an informed decision. If there aren't, that's part of the informed decision that we don't.
Well, I am comfortable answers. That whatever questions one may have, we have the folks here that can answer them.
Okay. All right. So council budget work sessions will be rescheduled. Regular agenda items that were on today's docket will show up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We are staying for the duration. Could you please call the next three testifiers? Thank you, counsel.
The next three are Stuart Spring, Eric Wills-Goss, I believe it is, on Northeast Failing, and
why
Chris
don't we have,
McGuire.
Food brought in. For
no, we can't in front of everybody else.
Okay.
I do all the time.
And
good
how
afternoon.
About Gil Fry? And after them will be Jesse Hart, Joey Weber, and J.E. Isaac.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Please give us your name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, City Council and Mr. Mayor. My name is Irek Vielgos. I am a proud Timbers Army fan and also a resident of the King neighborhood. I wanted to ask, the reason we're here to ask for your vote yes on this proposal. I came to Portland in 1986 and closely followed all the urban developments that have placed Portland on the U.S. and international map as a sort of innovative and forward-looking city. The comparison of this proposal to the innovative and, yes, sometimes controversial funding of other projects in the past come to mind. The year I came here in 86, the first MAX line was opened. It used innovative funding of the federal highway funds to fund a first modern light rail system a model to all the other cities and a model and what has grown to be really a renowned and successful project. The 2001, when the Red Line to airport was built, that really was an innovative private and public funding project that has been extremely successful. 3,200 people a day either get on or get off at the Portland airport. And without that line, I remember when the bus was there, and that was not fun. If someone came from out of town, out of country to visit you, and you asked them to take the MAX bus, it was just so long, and it never really made sense. Now they just get on the MAX. I pick them up at Lloyd Center. We're home in 5 minutes. The Red Line and Cascade Station that came out of that 2001 project has been a success, and bringing timbers to the MLS will also be a success. I urge you to vote yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Chris McGuire, and I'm the head of sports marketing at Adidas America. I've lived and worked in Portland for the past 10 years and have come to call it my family's home. I'm here to support bringing an MLS franchise to Portland. I was fortunate enough to be asked to sit on the task force and lend my experience to that discussion. I was excited with the outcome the task force chose, but wanted to explain how this opportunity can benefit our city from an Adidas perspective. Adidas has a long-term relationship with Major League Soccer that stretches back to the league's inaugural season in 1996. In September of 2004, we finalized a 10-year, $150 million partnership with MLS to become their exclusive product supplier. We are proud to outfit all of the 15 current MLS teams and would be especially proud to outfit the Portland franchise in 2011. In 2004, as we considered this exclusive contract and the costs associated with it, Adidas did extensive research on the league's financials, the ownership groups, and the individual teams' P&Ls. Needless to say, we were very encouraged with our findings. The single entity structure, the salary cap, and the controlled expenses led us to believe this was a very safe investment for our company. MLS is equally focused on both immediate success and building the foundation for long-term viability. I'm pleased to let you know that this business has exceeded original projections threefold in the past three years. As a fan and now father, MLS has no rival in terms of providing a family atmosphere, affordable pricing, and exceptional game day environment. There is not a better investment a city can do to unite their people than investing in sport and in MLS. A team unites all ages, all socioeconomic backgrounds, and is soon ingrained in the fabric of the city. Portland is already considered Soccer City USA, and this would be an invaluable way of making this true for generations to come. As you know, by supporting the MLS bid, not only will you bring a team to the market in the fastest-growing sports league in the world, but you will be providing hundreds of new employment opportunities, a self-financing deal, a direct economic impact on local companies, and put Portland on the global soccer map. Although Adidas will benefit from having another franchise in Major League Soccer, as a fan of the sport, taxpayer, and resident of the city, there's not a better choice you can make than by saying yes and supporting this franchise. As I'm quite knowledgeable on the league itself, if there's any information I can provide, I'd be happy to do so. Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Gil Fry, Honorable Mayor and Council people. I appreciate being here. I guess I'd summarize some of my speech to start out with, because Mr. Paulson mentioned that the economic impact could be about $30 million, maybe to the city. And I would like to suggest that the economic impact of the Memorial Coliseum could very well be $100 million. Now, that's a guess at this point, but I've been following the scheduling for the last month very closely, and I learned what CFA means. That means Cat Fanciers Association. And they came to the Coliseum, and it took quite a while to get that information. And I reached someone in probably New Jersey or back there, and then they gave me the local district, and they said they had 125 exhibitors. They had 325 people or so with their cats, and they had 1,200 people who were spectators. And they were not in the arena. They were in the convention hall. And that's just one event. These people came from Alaska, and they came from Hawaii. It's the Northwest Convention, you might say, and it's very, very significant. And I have no idea what the total economic impact is on this Coliseum, but I would say that it's possible, and you and I need to find out. Possibly it's $100 million. Now, I have a written speech. My name is Gil Fry. I now live in Milwaukee, Oregon.
That was just the warm-up?
Yeah, that was...
We're ready.
I grew up in Portland.
Mr. Fry, we have your six-page speech. In the off chance that your time runs out, please know that we have the handwritten version. We'll all make sure we read it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You also have pictures of the Coliseum, because one of the soccer fans said that he was over to the Coliseum and it was abominable. And I didn't know if he meant the memorial wall or if he meant the Coliseum. And I went over during the wrestling matches. There was a full house on Saturday night, and I went to the wrestling matches, and I took pictures during the day. And each of you have received copies of those pictures. And that was one of the reasons why, because this Coliseum is very, very effective, efficient, and functioning great. I represent 128,012 Portland voters who all voted to build this great facility and build it on the east side. They chose that. This was in 1956, and if that vote was in November, I was camped out in Hohenfels, Germany, waiting in a tank to go into Budapest. Is my time up already?
It is. Did...
To assist the freedom fighters. America elected not to go into Budapest, and my wife and I returned home. I also represent about 200,000 other homeowners.
Sir, I'm sorry you're out of time, but maybe someone on the council has a question that might draw out the salient point you want to leave us with.
I have a question.
Lord help us.
Well, first of all, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for serving our country. So am I understanding that you do not share the previous veteran's opinion that dispensing
I
the
do
memorial
not share the
is
previous,
okay?
Previous veteran's opinion, and in one of the illustrations you will find a flag posted on the Coliseum property, on the memorial property, and Harley Waddell was instrumental in getting that flag there. He and I participated together, but he pulled it off, and he got it done in about a week or two.
So you have a long history of taking care of that
building. I wish we could have a sort of like a commandment. Thou shalt not touch our Coliseum.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Gil. We really appreciate it. Thanks. Thank all of you.
The next three are Jesse Hart, Joey Weber, and J.E. Isaac.
So I'm going to, unless there's objection from the city council, I'm going to rescind temporarily the ban on food and drinks in the lower floor. So, Steve, you're allowed to have the drink you're drinking, but we can't have it upstairs for safety reasons. So downstairs, food and drink for the course of this hearing is allowed, including those of us here on the council dais. So
there are some chairs left down here now. So.
Yep. Welcome to the city council. Glad you're here. You simply need to give us your first and last name. Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for having us, and thank you for dedicating your time, whether it be all day and night. My name is Jesse Hart, and I recently moved to Northeast Portland. Soccer has been a cornerstone in my life, so has my beloved home state of Oregon. Born in Portland, raised in Grants Pass, my college education in Eugene, and now back in Portland for a career, hopefully just in time to see what I hope for so many years to come true. Oregon is littered with soccer fans in every city, but no professional team to be a part of. There is no doubt in my mind that if you decide that we move to join Major League Soccer, our already stunningly dedicated fan base will significantly increase, and our numbers will likely be higher than most other MLS teams nationwide. I'm already thinking past the great success the Timbers will bring to the people of Portland to the next time the United States hosts the World Cup, the most popular sporting event the world has to offer. I think how amazing it will be not only to host MLS teams in the Rose City, but potentially world-class soccer that will bring every culture of the world to our awesome corner of the USA. Please jump on this great opportunity that we may never potentially see again. Please don't think that soccer is only a recreational activity. There are literally billions worldwide that would laugh at that remark. Soccer is continually growing in the United States, and Portland, Oregon should encourage that growth. Thanks.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you for hearing me today. My name is Joey Weber. I'm going to start out reading a letter that was written to me by Mr. Serrell. He could not be here today because he had to work. My name is Jim Serrell. Most people know me as Timber Jim. I have grandchildren that are fourth-generation Timber family members. We are part of a huge family tree. This tree has roots that grow deep and reach across oceans. The branches of our family are as unique as the entire spectrum of light. I had the privilege of serving the Portland Timbers as the director of love and celebration.
I want to be that.
Timbers goal celebrations are legendary. The love is life-changing. Now there's a magnificent opportunity to grow our tree. Our gardener is tending our tree. He is adding good things to our ground. Soon people from across the globe will come to climb in our branches. Some will eventually call the tree their home. I respectfully request that you grant our gardener his request. Thank you very much, Timber Jim Serrell. Like I said, my name is Joey Weber. The man I spoke for is a hero of mine, not because he's a Portland icon or Timbers icon, but because he's a man who lives for others and benefiting them. This year, I've had the opportunity to work as a game day employee for the Portland Timbers. Aside of the game days, I've been able to do a lot of things. I've spent time bowling with Bubba to raise money for the Shriners Children's Hospital. I've helped encourage kids to read by reading to two different schools Dr. Seuss books to celebrate his birthday. Of course, I wasn't quite as nervous as I am here in front of you today.
Joey, you're doing a great job.
It's a little different being in front of 1,000 fans as opposed to the city council. So, yeah. One of the neatest things I've ever done in my life.
Would it help if we started cheering?
Possibly. Somebody bring my chainsaw in.
Actually, could I just ask you a question on that point?
Yes.
When you're descending on the rope
over
my seat with the chainsaw and you're firing it up, is there any actual risk to me as a paid customer?
There's risk just coming here today.
Depends on how you vote today.
It's still the worst. Yeah.
That was a softball.
You stole the words right out of my mouth.
It depends on how you vote today. Anyway, I stole a little bit of your time. We'll give you some more.
That's fine. As I was saying, one of the greatest things I've ever done is a girl named Sierra who works for the Portland Timbers asked me if I would join the players and go to Emmanuel Children's Hospital. At Emmanuel Children's Hospital, we spent time with children who were burn victims due to a plane crashing into their house and burn victims due to their parents leaving the propane on in their mobile home and blowing it up. These players that came out spent their own time to do this, and you could see the life in these children when they have nothing left. They'd lost their family. They've lost their skin. There were children there with cancer who were on their last legs. These Portland Timbers players were able to step up when the children didn't speak English. They would step in and speak Spanish to these children. And there was one child that could not speak, and one of our players actually knew sign language and was able to communicate with him without anybody knowing that he knew that. Bringing Major League Soccer to Portland would give us more opportunities like this to get out in the community, to encourage children to read, to encourage children to be physically fit, and to be able to brighten the day of children who are suffering. I very much so encourage you guys to vote yes today.
Thank you, Joey. J. Jay.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, I'm J.E. Isaac, Senior Vice President for the Portland Trail Blazers and Portland Arena Management, which is the owner of the Rose Garden and your partner managing the Coliseum at the Rose Quarter. We support efforts to attract an MLS franchise to Portland and would welcome one if the deal for the city is right. Our affiliates in Seattle have supported Portland's bid to the MLS. We believe Merritt Paulson has already been a great benefit to this city. However, like the Citizens Task Force, our support is conditional based on the terms of the agreement. We cannot support terms and conditions that dramatically impact the future viability of the Trailblazers. We are very concerned that the terms of the deal that is before you today threatens the future of our franchise. We, more than anyone, understand the challenges that a major league team has in a small market. We continue to experience enormous financial losses and are now facing a deepening recession. We have a new management team. We have made tremendous progress towards a sustainable business model. The future use of the property around the Rose Garden is critical to achieving that model. And the terms of the proposed agreement with Shortstop appear to be inconsistent with the model. If in order to attract an MLS franchise, it is necessary to site a baseball stadium at the Rose Quarter and to use the vast majority of available Rose Quarter funding to complete the deal, it appears to us that we will be unable to achieve the city's vision of a vibrant 24/7 mixed-use entertainment district at the Rose Quarter. We and many others feel that vision is the highest and best use for the property around the Rose Garden, and we are concerned that the deal before you may forever commit our neighborhood to being what it is today, a facilities district where people come to attend large events and leave. Commissioner Fish mentioned earlier the fact that the council has a choice about how it spends urban renewal dollars. It also has a choice about how it spends the spectator facilities fund. We have talked to several neighbors and business groups, and they are excited about the development that we could create. It is a vision that will bring thousands of jobs, add hundreds of millions to the property tax rolls, and attract additional convention business. However, if the terms of the deal for MLS strips the Rose Quarter of most or all of the revenue available for the city's participation in the project, the city will, in effect, be choosing to replace an arena currently hosting concerts, family shows, conventions, conferences, a minor league hockey team, and the cat show with a minor league baseball stadium. Proponents of this deal like to talk about how adding the baseball stadium will be a spur to the development of the Rose Quarter.
So, Jay, your time is up, but why don't you continue? Why don't you continue? I want to give you a
paragraphs.
Chance to get the Thank full you. Statement out.
Thank you. People talk about the baseball stadium being a spur to development at the Rose Quarter, but history has shown us that sports facilities alone cannot create the critical mass necessary for an active 24/7 district. If they could, then the development would have followed the building of the Rose Garden, which last year had more events than any other arena complex in the country. We urge council to reconsider the terms of the deal and work toward an agreement that will not cost the Rose Quarter a chance to become the active neighborhood it can be. The city's agreement on the Rose Garden is an excellent model for an MLS deal that would work. The Rose Garden was 100% privately financed. The city did not take any risk or put up any bonds for the arena itself and received a 6% user fee and all revenue from the public parking garages, which the city paid for with its bonds. It is ironic that the city's excess revenue from the Rose Garden is one of the key funding sources for the baseball stadium that this deal is offering to build for Merritt Paulson. And it is a large piece of the financing that is not guaranteed by the Paulson family. We ask that the city take a week and see if we can work out terms that can bring us an MLS team to Portland without threatening the future of the major league team we already have. Thanks for your time and consideration.
I'd like to ask you a couple questions, Jay. So what specifically in the deal that you looked at are you identifying as the piece that threatens the viability of the Blazers?
Well, as I mentioned, Commissioner, developing the properties around the Rose Garden into an active 24/7 district is part of our plan to try to achieve at least break even for our owner. And the plans that we've looked at now and our understanding of how this deal that's proposed will work is that you will take 100% of all city revenues from the facilities district that you have now, you know, from the Rose Garden that are flowing now. You will take a substantial chunk of the TIF money from the Urban Renewal District that we're a part of, and you will build a baseball stadium on the Coliseum property, which is one of the which is the largest development piece we have. So our concern is about enough money to create our vision. Our concern is about enough property to create our vision.
So to be clear, the Coliseum is owned by the city.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have
the
development right to develop it in terms of it being a public venue, which is our intention. With respect to the URA and the dollars there, as I think you heard earlier, and I'm remembering a few conversations I didn't have, but I thought we had a conversation where it was explained to you that the URA dollars identified for the AAA stadium are not in competition with the urban renewal dollars that have been earmarked in the district that you're in for the entertainment district development. And lastly, I suppose I'm just a little disturbed at what you're saying because we've been having conversations. In fact, I've seen drawings that you've produced that shows a AAA stadium on the Coliseum site with the entertainment district development. So I'm a little confused about what I'm hearing you say.
Let me clear that up. The drawing that you saw required a complete demolition of the Memorial Coliseum and our office building,
right,
which will cost $25 to $35 million to replace.
Understood.
And the sources that you referred to that would be available to achieve our vision wouldn't even replace the office building. That's why we're concerned, and our apologies if we haven't made that clear enough.
I think the point is that you showed us a drawing where a AAA ballpark would work within the district. Now you happen to also assume that we would have to spend $25 million to take down your office building. But we haven't decided on where in the Rose Quarter this would go, but I think that shows that co-location of the two facilities is possible. And there are other spots within the Rose Quarter where we've shown that it can fit as well. So your comments today, a number of aspects of your comments today come to me as a surprise.
But I would want to make clear that we, you know, I certainly do, and I think I speak for the whole council, if not the city, that we consider the Blazers a valuable partner seems to be an understatement. And a lot, large part of these negotiations with Merit, again, maybe I'm remembering I said this to you, but didn't make it as clear as I intend to now. Large part of these negotiations with Merit was to make it clear that we were going to place the AAA stadium in the Rose Quarter in an area that best fit with your operation and his operation and the city's best interest. And I thought I'd told you that, but we would do nothing intentionally to either harm his concern or yours. In fact, it is my belief that the work that we're going to do, if this gets approved from this point on, will create a synergy where both of you do better than you would have individually on your own with the facilities there.
Well, we certainly feel that if there's enough financial wherewithal and enough property that a baseball stadium can work. But so far, the experts that we've asked to look at this are very concerned that citing both what we want to build and what Merit wants to build will require the destruction of new building, not only the Coliseum, but some either your parking garages, which you own and which you're pledging the revenues from towards the PGE Park funding, or our office building.
Well, I'm committed, as I know Mayor Adams is, to working through all those issues so that everybody's satisfied in the end.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
No, I have questions.
Yep.
You mentioned that there was a lot of private investment in the Rose Garden. Can you tell me how much private investment there was in the Rose Garden?
$267 million.
And how much city investment?
I'm sorry, I take that back. The 267 was the total number. But all of the Rose Garden itself was paid for privately. There was $34.5 million of that $267 million. That went to build the two parking garages that the city owns and gets the revenue from, and to refurbish Memorial Coliseum.
But didn't we donate the property?
You ground leased the property, correct.
We ground leased the property, and so you pay the lease
We pay a ground lease.
And so there was about, 80% private investment in that deal?
Well, if you look at the overall deal, counting the garages and the refurbishment of the Coliseum, at least, I'd say.
So were you involved, were the Blazers involved in the 2001 Rose Quarter Urban Design and Development Strategy Study?
Yes, that was a PDC project, but we were definitely involved in it.
I think what you're raising and what I'm raising for the rest of the council is what was in the task force report, was to consider what's the highest and best use of public property. And this is, although it's not parkland, it's certainly the space is public property. And so I'm really interested to know from you what might be the highest and best use. I mean, this proposed use is suggesting that there would be 300 ongoing jobs as a result of the new stadium, the combined.
Yes.
So what? Tell me a little bit more about what your proposed vision for that area is.
Thank you for that opportunity, Commissioner. The vision that we have for a live district, this is something that has been achieved successfully by our development partner, the Cordish Company, in several communities around the United States, including Kansas City. And to give you a sense of the economic impact in Kansas City, that created 5,000 new full-time equivalencies. That's not 5,000 total full-time jobs, but it adds up to that many hours, full-time equivalencies. It put over $400 million of property on the tax rolls. And that's another distinguishing point, is that if you're aiding private development, you're adding to the tax rolls. If you're building public facilities, then you're not putting anything on the tax rolls. So the economic impact is tremendous. And the other thing to consider is the impact on the convention center. We are only a block and a half away from the convention center. The convention center is struggling mightily. Even though people want to come to Portland, it's struggling to get business. When conventioneers, and this has been proven in Los Angeles, where there's a live district next to Staples and their convention center, and Kansas City, where there's a live district next to the Sprint Center and their convention center, that you add a lot of incremental convention business by putting one of these things in because the conventioneers want to come to it.
So, and am I understanding correctly that although the ground is city property, the improvements that the private improvements would be subjects would give us property taxes?
That's correct. They would be privately owned, and the Cordish Company knows how to do this. They are willing to invest in this with their own money. They're one of the few companies in this credit market that can self-fund its own its own project.
And what has been your process with the city and with PDC for discussing your vision for
We began a process with the PDC and with the mayor's office back in the summer to start sharing with them just the concept of what we wanted to do. And we got a lot of head nods that people thought it was the right vision. We began a process towards working out a memorandum of understanding with PDC. And then this project, this MLS baseball project, basically accelerated our project because the question then was raised, does a baseball stadium fit in? Will that work? And, the short answer is sure. As a usage, it would be great. It would be great to have a baseball stadium, in the Rose Quarter because it would be additive in terms of bringing people to the live district. But if it's at the expense of the live district, we think that it is a mistake, because you will be forever committing to what we have now. The Coliseum did 420,000 people last year. Merritt's own optimistic projections, I think, says 600,000 people at the new baseball stadium. That's not a big gain. I mean, you're giving up something. In Kansas City, without a major league tenant in the Sprint Center, their live district drew 8 million people. 25% of them came from farther away than 100 miles.
Is that a similar size in that, acreage?
That's really the question we're trying to work through, Commissioner. That's really the problem here is that you know we are still developing our plan and what elements should be included, how many elements can we fit within the properties that the city owns and the property that we own in the riverfront. And it's a question that I can't answer definitively today.
And it's also, I think there's an aspirational aspect to it because clearly the opportunity to expand the Rose Quarter, as we've talked about, the city owns property behind the Blanchard Building. The school district has long been interested in redeveloping that site and getting into a facility that's more in sort of right size to their needs. So we're well into the discussions, and I do believe we'll come up with something that works for everybody.
Jay, could I ask you one last question?
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm going to be telling my grandchildren someday that I lived in Portland the day that Rudy Fernandez got a cheap foul and the team came together and won a championship. How's he doing?
He's great and begging to play tonight. And I think what it's going to be more fun is to tell your grandchildren that you were there the day that Rudy came back and heard that applause.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Appreciate it. Hope you're not getting free tickets. Next three?
Next three are Sean Moran.
And
Jim Crowell and Jeff Long. Okay, what about Bill Resnick?
I got the little photograph.
Julia Hasty.
Can you take a look at
it? Joe Esmond. Oh, up here. Okay,
nice.
Somebody's coming down.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
With the special bleacher.
Thank you.
Oh, really?
Accepted on behalf of the city. Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you.
Why don't you go ahead?
All right. Good morning, or I guess afternoon at this point.
Can you speak into the mic just so we can all hear you?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning, or afternoon. My name is Julia Hasty, and I have a chemistry degree from Radford University in Virginia, and with a focus on green chemistry and biofuels. And I work at Portland-based biodiesel company named Portland Biodiesel. And first, I'd like to commend our city commissioners for their leadership, especially in these hard economic times. I speak to you today about my concern of the type of jobs that this project will create. More importantly, there are more pressing issues that I feel city council should focus on other than sports. And more pressing issues are education, road repairs, and green jobs. As a cyclist, I would like to see this money used in saving already existing local jobs that contribute to the tax base so that we can improve roads for cycling and fill potholes that endanger me as I commute in search of work each day. I would like the city to use urban renewal money that would support businesses to find the solutions to sustain and add value to this city as we enter an unsure world of pressing environmental, social, and economic issues. I would like to see not new stadiums built, but current schools repaired and provide a quality education so that we can train this generation of youth to think in critical, creative, and innovative ways to be the next green workforce. I'm frustrated because I just got laid off after essentially been volunteering 50 hours a week for the past 3 months and heeding the city's call to create a sustainable business to bring a million gallon a year biodiesel plant online. As I speak to you right now, our first batch of 5,000 gallons of biodiesel is sitting in a tank right now, made from waste vegetable oil from local restaurants, ASTM grade, and it's sitting there with no market. In another week, the biodiesel will start to oxidize to the point where it will no longer pass spec. The sustainable local company that I work for is on the verge of losing their partnership with one of the Portland's largest waste oil recycler. If this happens, Portland's local resource of used veggie oil will be loaded onto a tanker and shipped to China. If we don't become the fifth biodiesel company in the area to fold by the end of the month, we will immediately create 15 to 20 production-ready jobs and long-term grain jobs at a salary of $40,000 a year with benefits. We would also be a resource for local educational institutions for internships, and which is much greener and sustainable than managing a soccer team. I'm of the highly educated creative class that is on the verge of leaving Portland because of a few green chemistry jobs in the area are decreasing in numbers rapidly, while other unsustainable jobs such as a part-time stadium hot dog stand or short-term construction job are being promoted. I ask you to vote no on this and start focusing on supporting small businesses who need your help in creating long-term jobs that can support our green city and that we have something to export.
Don't get me wrong,
I love sports, but I think we should work hard in supporting our local businesses and play later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia, first of all, I very much agree with your sentiments, and we do, in fact, use urban renewal dollars for small business startups and have a number of small startup companies that only got going and are succeeding because of that. But on the bigger point, you and I very much share a passion about biodiesel, mm-hmm. and I would like you to go into my office, ask for Ty Kovach, and tell him you have 5,000 gallons of biodiesel. We consume a lot of it in the city, but specifically at the Water Bureau, and I'd like to do something to see what we could do to buy that at a fair price mm-hmm. for him to be used.
So if you do it.
Thank you for staying throughout this hearing to give your testimony. Appreciate it.
Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Sean Moran. I'm actually here on a job interview today. My qualifications are that I'm a local soccer coach. I'm the president of a local youth soccer club in the Grant Park neighborhood. Also, I found a member of the Northeast United soccer club. And I want one of those 300 or 150 jobs that is going to come with Major League Soccer in this town. Last season, we were awarded a $3,000 grant from the Portland Timbers and Portland Beavers Community Fund. That money was earmarked to go towards fields, Portland Public School fields and Portland Parks and Rec fields are in such a bad way. Last season, they gave out $100,000 to local soccer and baseball clubs, and that money went back into the community, into the Portland Parks and Rec fields and school fields that our kids are twisting their ankles on. The Fernwood Middle School was awarded $10,000. It was actually awarded to Hollywood Little League the previous season. That's a wonderful field now. Teams from all over the area use that, including both of my children who actually go to that school. All the children use that field. This season, the Portland Timbers and Portland Beavers Community Fund hope to give $150,000 back to the Portland youth soccer and baseball community. With Major League Soccer, you can only guess that it would be substantially more. I want a job with the Portland Timbers and Portland Beavers, Major League Soccer. There's probably thousands and thousands of people in this country that want you to say no today. They're the supporters of the other clubs that are the other states that are up, the other cities. They want you to say no. Because they want this. They know what it can bring to their communities. I didn't write anything down today, but and I don't want to say for the children, but, you know, it's there is a lot that gives back to the community. I brought 400 children to a game last season where we were awarded that check. Those kids played on the field in front of 14,000 people. Just real quickly, photograph down there that I left you guys. That's just under 30,000 people to watch a women's soccer game. It was a World Cup game. And so that's a reality. There's no Photoshop on that thing, okay? That's what you're going to be missing out on if you don't vote. I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Sean, can I just... First, I want to acknowledge that I've received a couple thousand emails, lots of letters, but only one letter hand-delivered to my house, which I think was from you.
So, don't know anything about that.
Okay. Let's keep the address private, if you don't mind. Second, I had a meeting recently with some Grant Park neighborhood people because Coach Manoli and others believe that the state champion boys soccer team should play on a soccer field and not a mud pit.
Be nice.
And the overwhelming majority of emails I've received have been urging me not to do that. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to working with you to make sure that the kids at Grant Park have a field that's as nice as the kids at Wilson and at Lincoln and at Cleveland. And in addition, I think Northeast United plays in Fernhill. Fernhill is also not in the greatest condition, and we have not invested in a lot of our fields. And so what I just want you to know is that regardless of the outcome of this vote, I need your help to make sure kids in Portland have the same quality fields that the suburban kids take for granted, and to also convince people that artificial turf is not the negative that people think it is, that it in fact prevents injuries and allows us to get more use out of our fields and more bang for the buck.
Thank you. That $3,000 is going to be going towards Fernhill. That came from the Portland Timbers and Portland Beavers Fund.
So is it true that Major League Soccer requires proper grass rather than turf?
No.
Okay. And I just wanted to mention that I've received and read hundreds of emails, including from all over the country, and all of the ones from all over the country have been saying, do this. And of the ones that have said, don't do this, it was only one from Beaverton that didn't have a Portland dress.
You know, we would all love to have, like, we would all love to play on grass. You know, it's the best thing that you cannot repeat it, but you cannot practice on grass and you cannot have football on grass. Or, you know, it would tear it up. It has to be, all, you know, a turf.
Thank you. Good sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Joseph Esmond. I am a business rep for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, 15937 Northeast Airport Way, Portland, Oregon, 97230. We represent 4,000 union electrician workers in the Portland area, and we are affiliated with another 16,000 folks in union workers in the trades with the Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council. We wish to go on record in support of the Major League Soccer Task Force's findings and recommendations. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am an ex-coach of baseball and soccer. So we believe their findings are good. We believe the financials are straight, and there's enough protections in there that the city, of which I live in, won't get burnt. Not only will these projects provide much-needed construction jobs for our out-of-work members, but they also will create work for the local architects, engineers, and all the suppliers in the area. The money will be recirculated into this economy here, so it's a no-brainer. The areas where the remodeled soccer stadium, new baseball stadium, will be built will also benefit from the new economic vitality and increased positive activity, which, of course, will send out signals across the country and around the world. It's all good stuff. We know these are tough times. Hey, in the construction business, we're getting our butts kicked. But we would argue that this is a good time for leadership to be bold move these projects forward. And this, yes, this is a form of stimulus into our local economy. We therefore urge the council to vote yes on this proposal so these plans and projects can move forward. I thank you, and I want to add a couple things. Right now in our apprenticeship, we have 31 people who are veterans. There hasn't been a house in Portland area being done by the Habitat for Humanity in the past couple of years that hasn't been wired free by the IBW. And about 4 years ago for the Portland Public Schools, I spearheaded a group of people to put up 3 football field lighting projects. So the kids over here on the east side could have football games at night. My kids went to public schools here and got a great education. So
I remember that. That was at Marshall, Cleveland, and Roosevelt.
Yep.
Great job.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe, and everything the union does.
Was Jim Crowell or Jeff Long here?
Yeah, Bill Resnick.
Oh, yeah. Bill Resnick, Jerry Powell, and Randy White are next.
And how many more after that?
One more if Veronica is still here.
Okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to the City Council. All you have to do, give us your name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Go for it. Thank you. I'm Bill Resnick. I like soccer. It keeps the kids moving rather than standing in the outfield or mashing into one another. But I don't think the city should be choosing which sports to subsidize. To each its own. And I urge you to let affluent interests pay the full costs of their projects and their sporting interests. First, a brief point on urban renewal. Some urban renewal, a lot of urban renewal stimulates real development. But some, and the parts that are critiqued, just redirect expenditure. As to stadiums, the public monies only redirect expenditures. That is, you get a lot of money spent in one place, and in fact, jobs developed in that place. But those are monies that would, and jobs that would have would exist anyway, and would, and the same economic projects would have gone on, but other places. It shifts money from one bowling alley and restaurant, as one expert said, to the bowling alleys and restaurants around the stadium that you've subsidized. And the economic lid is indisputable. It's easy to commission studies to show there'll be a lot of development around the ballpark. The real question is, what's the effect on the region? And the region is just about null. If the Paulsons are ready to guarantee that no public funds will be used, that they still need bonds for some cosmetic purpose, then they should put money in an unbreakable trust, enough to cover the costs and overruns. I really actually didn't want to talk about the economics. I wanted to make another point. I went out canvassing recently. I was canvassing for raising taxes on the corporate minimum of $10 that PGE pays. They could afford more. And also to raise taxes on people, very high income earners. In fact, a huge amount of money could be raised for schools in the state. I got a response from some people, which is they want to build stadiums. They ought to have plenty of money for schools and health care. My sense is that the money spent subsidizing soccer will reinforce the cynicism that so many people feel about government. This country is sinking right now. It's in deep recession with no end in sight. And today, only very wise and efficient public action of many kinds, obviously re-regulation, but including a large fiscal stimulus, use it bonded and deficit spending, will restart the economy. But of course, those expenditures, real investments, need public support. And my sense is that an expenditure by this city council in funding stadiums, basically for the rich and well-connected, that is the ownership, not the fans, is one good way of losing the kind of public support that we need and will need for the next several years in real public investment. And I think it really plays into the hands of those who insistently say, don't trust government, they waste your tax money, they give it away to special interests, you can more intelligently spend your money than the government.
And I need you to wrap it up.
Okay. My contribution, then, is to remind you that expenditures in subsidizing stadiums, besides being economic losers, will surely undermine public support for the very policies needed to restore economic activity in this country.
Thank you, Bill. Jerry.